Well, good morning. All the kids have made a runner, so they probably don't want to listen to me. This morning, we're excited because we're going to be baptising Steve shortly. And Phil and Nigel's going to go in water with him just to help him. If anybody wants, we're starting a bidding thing for him. £5, we'll hold him in for 30 seconds. £10, we might make a minute. If we get £20, 2 minutes. Any bids on 5 minutes? So we're going to get to that shortly, but I just want to bring a few thoughts together and really look at why Steve's doing what he's doing. But there's an interesting verse in the Bible that Paul wrote. And Paul says this, he says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, some of you might not be familiar with church and church life. Sometimes people often just go to special events and special occasions. Growing up, I only ever went to church. I can't really remember ever going to church when I was growing up, except for the odd time. Were you whistling like? The odd time when my brother joined the Cubs and my mum made us go. And I think then she found out that she could put us in the Sunday school and then go home, babysit for a couple of hours. But it didn't last long because I only lasted 2 weeks in Sunday school before I got kicked out. So that was my experience of a church. And then I then started some years later going to a youth group, and I lasted about 3 weeks there before I got kicked out. So my whole idea of church growing up was very limited, but I don't know what yours is. But Paul says, "I will never boast except in the cross." And wherever you look around, when I was growing up, the churches around all had big crosses outside them. And I often used to be perplexed because I understood what the cross meant. It was a form of torture and killing. And yet churches had these crosses outside. I remember looking at a photograph of, or on the internet, of a photograph of London just after the war. But it was very hazy, very cloudy. But amongst all the debris and rubble was St. Paul's Cathedral with a big cross on top. And it stood out, and I thought it was quite a nice picture. But different people have different ideas of the cross and what it means to them. Edmund Hillary, when he got to the top of Everest, he put a cross down right there at the top. And he actually said it was going to be just for Jesus. It was just going to be for God. Move that away, might not get an ace. And he did it deliberately and lifted the cross there. But today in China, if you watch the news, the churches out there, the government and the people that's getting on, they're taking the crosses down. And we don't know why they want to do that. It's just something they want to do. If it's too noisy, guys, I'll take it off. The PA guy that we've got has run off to Uganda. Now, I think he's after a wife, but he tells me he isn't. And I know a lot of ladies in Uganda, because I've been there, do are looking for men, so you never know. But in China, they're taking down crosses, they're ripping them off and getting rid of them. Now, some of you guys might be here this morning, and you might have a cross around your neck, or you might have a necklace at home with a cross on it, or some beads with a cross on it. And crosses mean different things, but really this morning I want to ask the question, what does the cross mean to you? Is it a lucky symbol that you hold on to? Is it something that you hold on to? Or are you just worried about vampires coming, and so you've got something you can hold up to them, and with your garlic and your holy water? And it's a case of, what was Paul saying when he says, "May I boast in nothing except for the cross of Jesus Christ"? You see, Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, could have boasted about his education. He was one of the smartest people around for his time. He was very intelligent, very wise. He studied and he had a really good education. He could have boasted in his religion, because at the end of the day, he was a really good religious person. He obeyed all the laws and commandments. And in fact, he would probably make us lot look like, well, rubbish compared to his standards. He'd have been almost as good as Mother Teresa. That's how religious he was. Not saying she was, but he was so good at what he did. He could have boasted that he was a Roman citizen. He was somebody. We boast about different things, and it annoys us when other people boast. But Paul could have boasted in so many other things. He could have boasted about Jesus, about the work that Jesus did. He could have boasted about the power of Jesus to raise the dead and heal the sick. But he said, I'm not going to boast about anything except the cross. And yet the cross was a place of death and torture. It was a place where people died. It used to take them days to die. And yet Paul says, that's what I'm going to boast about. I don't want to get into it, but if you've ever watched the film, The Passion, by Mel Gibson, that's a good portrayal of what Jesus went from the cross. And I challenge anybody to watch that and without having an emotion attached to it, unless you're like me and they're so turned down, it's kind of, you've got to really force them up. But if anybody watches the Passion and understands that Jesus went to that cross for me and for you, it kind of throws a different light on the whole thing. History shows us there was somebody called Jesus who lived nearly 2,000 years ago. There was somebody called Jesus. It's documented. There was somebody called Jesus who died, who had followers, who died for him. Science actually shows us nowadays that there is a God. Quantum physics. I love physics. I love quantum physics. I'm not as educated as some, but I'm told that when people start studying quantum physics, that initially they say there is no God. But as they continue to study into quantum physics, the only conclusion they've got as they get deeper and deeper into it is they must be a God. Because it cancels out everything, every chance, every possibility of chance. But the cross is a place of death where Jesus was nailed to the cross. And yet while he was on that cross, people mocked him. People ridiculed him. People said, come down. You saved other people. You raised people from the dead. Come down. And if you come down, we'll believe in you. But he stayed on that cross. And that makes me wonder, and it's really remarkable, because in my entire life, some people's done some good things for me. Most people's not done much for me. Some people's done bad to me. And yet Jesus, we are told, died on that cross for me. Just because he loved me. And I figure, why would somebody do that? Another part in the Bible that Paul wrote, he says this, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were far away from God and doing our own thing, Jesus died for us. You see, when I wasn't interested in Jesus, he still was interested in me. Peter, one of Jesus' friends, actually said this, he himself bore our sins in his bodies on the cross, so that we might be die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we are healed, or have been healed. See, Peter, who knew Jesus really well, says that Jesus died on a cross and died that sort of death so that he could take our sins. Now, I'm not being funny, but I never counted myself as a bad lad. Yet people who heard my testimony would say, you're worse than me, mate. But I wasn't that bad compared to some. I was a lot worse than most, but not that bad compared to some. But Jesus took everything I'd done, all my wrong. Sin, basically, let's put it down in faith. Sin is basically doing the things that God wouldn't want us to do. That's just in a nutshell. But he says that we might die to sins and live for righteous, live in the right standing with God. Jesus died to take away our sins so that we could be forgiven. When I was growing up, as I said, I never really went to church. My mum and dad were into some right dodgy things. My life was just a life of fighting, doing my own thing. And yet somebody challenged me once about Jesus, and I didn't really want to know. But something they said really stuck for me, and it made me think, because I couldn't deny anybody who studies, anybody who checks things. And I always say to people, don't take my word for it, check it out for yourself. But anybody who checks out about Jesus often concludes that he was the Son of God. There's been great people, lawyers, solicitors, there's been barristers, there's been journalists who've tried to prove that Jesus never existed and write books about it, only to write the book that he did exist and he died for them. Because when they discovered that he was real, they got saved. Jesus, you know, he was talking so many years ago and talking to people, and he's talking to us today. And Jesus, when he died for everyone. Now, some people might say, Johnny, you know, you don't understand that I've gone too far. I've done too much. I've messed up a lot. But yet there's a guy on the cross next to Jesus who was a thief and a murderer, we're told. And he wasn't a very nice person, but Jesus says to him, he says, Lord, remember me. And Jesus says, today you'll be in paradise with me. So even at that point of death, in that state he was in, Jesus still reached out to him. There's no dark place that Jesus cannot shine a light into to give you hope. There's no darkness that can hide Jesus from you, or you can hide from. He can come right into the dark place and he can show you hope and give you peace. He can be right there. Others have said to me in the past, Johnny, it's all right, I don't need Jesus, I'm good enough. I'm good enough. And I want to salute people like that because I think you are so stupid. Because the only person that I think was nearly good enough to get to heaven on her own was Mother Teresa. And yet she acknowledged she needed Jesus. She said, I need Jesus as my saviour. She said, after all the good things she did, she said, it's all worthless, it's all the good that I've done if I don't know Jesus. So if you're up to her standard and a little bit in front, then maybe you might have a chance. But like the rest of us, you're just going to have to find your own way, which there is no way, or trust in Jesus. The Bible actually tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. And I think that's uncomfortable. Because I'd like God to say, some have fallen short of my standards, but you're all right. But deep down, I knew I wasn't all right. And really, to put it into context, the Bible says, don't lie. So if I said, who's a liar, who's never lied, and anybody put their hand up, we're a liar. Because we've all told porkies. That's a nice way of putting it. And in God's eyes, that means we've messed up and we've fallen short of the standards. But the real good news about the gospel of the cross of Jesus, is not about how good you are or how bad you've been. It's about, do you know Jesus? See, it doesn't matter how bad somebody is, if they turn to Jesus, Jesus will welcome them in. And it doesn't matter how good somebody thinks they are, without Jesus, they're lost. And I think that's good because it puts us all on equal footing. See, Jesus doesn't care if you vote blue or vote red. Or purple or yellow. He's not interested. He's not interested if you like Donald Trump or don't like him. I don't know where that's come from, but he just popped out. He doesn't care about your politics. He don't mind. He doesn't care if you're racist or not a racist before you become a Christian. After that, it all changes. He is interested, though, in do you know him? See, Paul boasted of the cross because it's the only way to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved from our sins. Saved from been in a dark place all his life. But Jesus didn't just die on a cross to take us to heaven. He died so we could have life on earth right now. Proverbs, it says this. Solomon, one of the wisest people, wrote this. He says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. See, many people think I'll be all right. I used to think, as long as I've not killed anybody, I'm all right. I actually nearly shot somebody that was in anger. But as long as I didn't kill him, I'd have been all right. As long as, or even if you did kill him, as long as they were a bad person, it would have been all right as well. But God's standards are not our standards. Jesus said these words. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that blew my mind when I first got told that. Because I thought I was all right. I thought, I'm going to go to heaven. It's all going to be okay. My dad thought he were all right. In fact, he was worse than me. But he thought he was all right. My mum thought she was an angel, so she was going to be all right. And we read this and thought, what the heck? So going to church won't get me to heaven. And the guy said, no, it won't. Even though going to church is part of being a Christian. Doing good won't get me to heaven. He says, no, it won't. Actually, when I became a Christian, it wasn't about heaven or hell. I wasn't interested in that. But I was interested in getting to know God. Because they told me that to become a Christian is to have a friendship with God. And I thought, that's amazing. That God who created everything is there. And he wants me to be in his gang. Now, nobody ever wanted me in their gang unless they were going to go fight somebody. And then they definitely wanted me in their gang. But at football, they didn't want me in their gang because I wasn't that good at football. When it comes to basketball, they didn't want me. I was usually not the last. It was usually the chubby kid. But I was one of the last few when it comes to basketball and stuff. Because I wasn't that good. I wasn't bothered. But when it came to rival village war, they wanted me on their gang. But Jesus said, I am the only way to the Father. There's no other way. Peter, friend of Jesus, he actually says this, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That is Jesus. You see, I thank God for all the churches. I thank God for a different denomination. I thank God for all the Christians. I thank God that I remember listening to John Paul, who was the Pope back then, saying some stuff about Jesus, which I thought were amazing. About, you know, you need to read your Bible and you need to get to know Jesus. I've not heard the other two say anything like that, but I did hear him say that. I've heard archbishops say that you need to get to know Jesus. And I'm thankful that there are people out there saying you need to get to know Jesus, because I'm going to be honest, going to church, it won't mean a thing before God. Being religious don't mean a thing before God. It's whether or not you know Jesus. This salvation, this cross, cost Jesus everything. He left heaven. I mean, it's pretty comfortable in heaven, I reckon. I've never been there, but I reckon it's a pretty cool place. And Jesus left it all away. I don't think the fridge run out of, well, I would say pork sandwiches, but I don't know if they're there, so that's a theological problem. But he left heaven and came down and then born of a woman, spent time on this earth. We're reading the Bible, but his own brothers, you know, the other kids that Mary had, ridiculed him. They called him names because our dad's not your dad. We read that in the Psalms. And then as he was growing up and he got older, the people around him started mocking him, and then he was doing good. He went around doing amazing things and people just laughed and mocked him. And he did that all for me. One day we'll all stand before God. One day every one of us will stand there. And then we can tell him all the good things we've done, or how moral we've been, or how amazing and what we did in society. The problem is that God, Jesus will turn around and say this, go away from me, I don't know you. But if we turn to Jesus and we give our lives over to him and say sorry for what we've done, he'll never turn us away. You see, I can't get to heaven through my mum. There's only one way, is through Jesus on my own. I can't get to heaven by anybody else. It's only through Jesus. But when we give ourselves to Jesus, he does more than just give us heaven. He gives us eternal life. And eternal life starts down on earth. It doesn't start when you die. It starts down on here. I've told a lot of my friends, I used to be a Leeds fan, and if you're others, then that's fine. And we used to go to the away matches just to go in the home fans' stand. And halfway through the match, we'd open our shirts up and we'd have Leeds tops on, surrounded by, the last time I did it, we were at Everton, surrounded by thousands of Everton fans. It were good times, but stupid times. No wonder I nearly got killed, you know, so police pulls us out and all sorts. But I was running around looking for stuff, but the thing I really needed was hope and peace and a purpose in my life. And God gives us that. See, Jesus wants us to have life, and he wants us to have it to the full. There's a verse in the Bible that Paul also wrote. It says that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Jesus we might become right before God. See, I thank God that he took my sin and that's got to be Greek or Hebrew, one of them. Took my mess off me and put it on Jesus, so that when he looked at me, he could call me his child, a child of God. See, in Jesus, when you become a Christian, we're often told, and religious people often tell you this, they tell you that you're a sinner, you're a worm, you're not worthy, you're a beggar, you're worthless, you're a nobody. But in Jesus, that's not true. In Jesus, you're not a sinner, you're not a worm, you are worthy, you're not a beggar, you're not worthless. I mean, imagine this, this is how much Jesus valued you. He was willing to die for you. Now, I might dare die for my kids. I might dare die for my wife, but for some people, I wouldn't. Yeah, take him, I'm off. I'd leave him to it. But Jesus valued you so much that he was willing, if you were the only person that turned to him, he'd have still died for you. Religion tells you you're pointless, but this is what Jesus tells you, who you are. You are a saint. in Jesus. If you're a Christian this morning, if you've given your life over, you're his child. You're a mighty man. But you ladies, if you're a Christian this morning, you're a princess and a warrior. You're Xena for Jesus. Young ones will have to Google that one. You're beloved. You're a giant on the inside. You're a conqueror. You're a sweetheart. You're also a fighter in Jesus. And you're strong as anything. And not only that, God has a plan for you. It was amazing when somebody told me about Jesus and they told me he had a plan for me. There's a great verse in the Old Testament. And it says this, God speaking, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God's plan for our life is not to chuck us in hell. God's plan for our life is that we turn to him and that we live a life honouring him and that he gives us hope and a future. The devil wants to kill, steal and destroy our lives, but Jesus wants to give us hope and life and joy and life to the full. He has a plan for you and a plan for me. And that plan's not to harm us. It's a plan to give us hope and a future. And in this day and age, we need to live with hope and we need to know that we have a future. Because if the only future I have is to retire at 60, whatever it might be, when I get there, and pan out the rest of my life trying to make a bit of a scramble together and die and go get buried and be food for the worms and that's it, it's a pointless life. But knowing that I can have life in Jesus here and that when I do die after my purpose, I can spend eternity with him. That gives me a hope and it gives me something to go forward to. Now you might say, that's great for you, Johnny. You need something to lean on. I never needed anything to lean on. And when my dad became a Christian, he was one of the hardest people I know. And he didn't need Jesus in his life. But when he realized what Jesus had done for him, he turned to him. Crazy man he was. He still is a bit crazy, actually, but I can say that. Others can't. Life is hard, generally. Generally, life is hard. Life sucks. I'm talking generally, but even as a Christian, become a Christian, and guess what? It gets harder. Becoming a Christian don't mean it's going to be an easy life. It gets harder because you can't do the things you once did. You've got to be nice. You've got to be good when you don't want to be. You've got to bite your tongue instead of letting those things come out. And the Christian life is really hard. In fact, the Christian life with Jesus is almost impossible. But in Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, you can live the Christian life. That's why some people go to church, they're not Christians, as in they've not given their life over to Jesus. They say the Christians are good to church, but life's so hard for them. But in Jesus, he will help us to live that amazing life. I'm going the wrong way on this. When Jesus died on that cross, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and I will only preach about the cross." Jesus took a lot, not just our sin, your sin on the cross, but while he took things, he gave us things as well. So for example, before God, we were guilty. So Jesus took our place of the sentence of death and he gave us his place, which is a place before God. Jesus took our death sentence on us for sin, and gave us life. Jesus took on the cross our worries, and he gave us hope. He took our sicknesses on the cross, and he gave us healings. He took our sin, and he gave us forgiveness. He took fear, and gave us courage. He took the curse, and he gave us blessings. He took bondage, and he gave us freedom. He took our shame, that thing we deny we've even got, but inside we know. He took our shame and he gave us joy. He took our self-righteousness, our works before God, and he gave us his righteousness. But I think this is the best one. He took our loneliness and he made us sons and daughters of the living God. That's what he did on the cross for us. In Romans, it says, this is Paul writing again, "If by the sins of one man, death reigned through that one man," that's talking about Adam, because of Adam, we've all messed up, "how much more will those who receive God's abundance provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" God wants us to reign in life, not coming under. He don't want us to live in the dark holes anymore. He don't want us to be suffering from depression and sickness. He wants us to live life with purpose, with a meaning, and to go for it. Being a Christian is the hardest thing that anybody can do. And yet some people don't want it. Steve, in a moment, these guys actually queue, start knocking your shoes off and stuff. We're going to get baptized. And what Steve's going to be doing is going to be what is going to go down and what will come up. And it's symbolic of something that's happened in his heart. Because Jesus died on that cross for our sins. He was buried in a tomb, but on the third day he was raised to life again. So Steve's going to go into water. He's going to go down as if he's dying with Christ. And then he's going to come back up and in the resurrection life of Jesus. But before he does that, I need to just ask if there's anybody here that wants to turn to Jesus. This might be the first time you've ever heard the good news. It might be the first time you've ever heard anything like this. But I need to give you an opportunity. If you want to know more about this Jesus, you need to let me know. So I'm just going to say, we're not going to do a prayer now or anything, but if you want to know more and you don't have to chat down with me or some of my guys in the church, you want to know about this Jesus, just give me a wave so I can see you and then we'll chat after lunch. Is there anybody that just wants to know more about this Jesus? Steve's making a public stand. And it's not an easy life. But is it something you need to do? They used to say to us, come out to the front. That took a lot of bottle. But I'd say this. Don't be ignorant. Don't be, la, 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 I don't want to know. Check it out for yourself. Find out, discover for yourself. Challenge God and say, God, if you're really there, prove yourself to me. The problem with asking God to prove himself to you, that when he does, what are you going to do with it? So Steve's going to come, he's going to be baptized. But if you want us to tell you more, come and see me, because it's of the utmost importance for you. Amen. Boys and girls, if you wanna come forward, you can stand up here.